This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson, and I want to welcome you to this live show at WNYC's Jerome L. Green Performance Space. Today we're exploring time travel, how it's been imagined in fiction and in the movies, and if it might ever be possible, please may it be in real life. Traveling through time actually has always been my great dream and fantasy. In fact, it's what I like best about actual travel. Like visiting New Orleans is to me like visiting 1824. Visiting Venice is like visiting 1824, 1730, take your pick. Georgetown, Washington, that's just like traveling to 1870. And in Palm Springs, California, you go there, the year is perpetually 1962. And that kind of simulated time travel is really one of the things I love about living in New York City. When I first moved here, I used to obsess over those painted signs, old flaking painted signs on the sides of old buildings, those advertisements for businesses that no longer exist, the ironmongers and milliners and patent medicines. And then early on here, I also remember visiting a friend's parents on the Upper East Side. They had moved into one of those huge white brick buildings when it was brand new around 1960. And they hadn't touched a thing since they moved in.
Somewhere waiting for me, my lover stands on golden sand.
Their apartment had multicolored George Nelson sofas and plastic Eames chairs and Benchon prints on the walls. This is in the 1980s. It was like a living museum installation, sort of a Sturbridge Village of the Mad Men era. This city is the real version of what Disney World tries to fake, this place where random chunks of the past, streetscapes and buildings and individual rooms from the last two or three centuries have somehow hurtled through time to the same moment in the future, that is, to the present, to right now. Then when I turned 50, I realized once you've lived for half a century, you really have time traveled. I mean, it seems like only yesterday I was in a place where everybody smokes and nobody wears seat belts, where they have vinyl records and rotary phones and only four TV channels. And working on a radio show at this station with this amazing archive that it has, I'm reminded of the famous William Faulkner quote, "The past is not dead, it's not even past." I mean, just listen.
This year, the war has had its effect on the Tree of Life, as it has had on so many of our customs and traditions. But so long as it is at all possible to have a tree, we, in spite of what you may have heard from our enemy propagandists in Germany to the contrary, will have one.
Oh, the cuckoo.
There are always beatniks in the village. And the beatniks are people, usually, who are people of a dreamy frame of mind in search of adventure.
A couple of months ago, I visited a brand new chunk of the future. I was reporting a piece about the Large Hadron Collider outside Geneva in Switzerland. It's this state-of-the-art atom smasher in a 17-mile-long underground tunnel. It's the largest and most sophisticated machine ever built. Completely amazing. But the funny thing is, this new collider doesn't look futuristic in any kind of a contemporary way at all. That is, in a kind of Apple Store way. It looks futuristic in an old-fashioned Jules Verne way. It's $9 billion worth of steampunk. The Large Hadron Collider has been cursed by delays. When they first turned it on last year, a little piece of it blew up and delayed it for a year. Well, two actual physicists in Denmark and Japan have a theory that these mishaps may be the result of time travel, and they're serious, that somebody or something from the future is sabotaging the Large Hadron Collider, sort of like in the Terminator, to prevent it from, oh, maybe destroying the world. Any day now, they're actually going to turn on the collider again and try once again to recreate the conditions that existed 14 billion years ago in the split second after the Big Bang. That's what they're doing. another version, in other words, of simulated time travel. But I guess we ought to say, people of the future, if this turns out to have been a terrible mistake, sorry. Now, I don't expect ever to literally time travel, but will my children's children's children, will they keep dreaming and thinking about it like we do? We will try to find out tonight, and at the very least, we will travel about 60 minutes into the future together.
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.